We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. I'm Clay Link here with Todd Zola of RotoWire and Masters Ball. Usual drill on this Friday. I'm on the verge, though, of a little mini vacation, Todd, taking off tomorrow and the next Friday and Saturday. Last I heard, it was a guest of your choosing filling in for me next Saturday or next Friday on this pod. Still a mystery? Any hints you want to give us?
No, actually, I also have to come up with a guest for the Thursday pod.
Oh, so you're filling up Jeff and
I think I am. Now that I wasn't sure, I'll double check on that. I thought I was doing the Thursday pod for Jeff. Maybe it's yours, and I need to double check it before I go too far on that. But no, I have not. I have not come up with a guest yet. We shall.
It'll be the mystery partner, classic wrestling trope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, a partner of your choice. Yeah, we'll find somebody to entertain the troops, as it were. So
who's the third man?
Really, exactly. That's DVR's music. That's DVR's music.
The mystery partner is one of my favorites. Like when Yokozuna was Owen Hart's tag partner. Some classic mystery men revealed in the world of pro wrestling. But Todd, I was watching the game with the Reds last night, and it was a thriller. They ended up losing, which snapped a streak of 8 straight road wins and 6 straight wins overall. So they did lose, but I was thrilled with the performance of not only Jonathan India, who homered, but Tyler Stevenson had a great AB and singled to tie the game up. And two rookies on the road, first jam-packed house of the season. I'm believing in some of these young kids the Reds have. So pretty exciting time. I've given them some grief, but I can do that because I've been with them my whole life. I've been with them through all the lows. But I can celebrate them when they're doing well. So it's been a good time to be a fan lately.
Right. We talked about India. I don't remember if it was on this pod or one of the XXM shows or whatever, but kind of gave him a jolt. I asked if we should drop him, and ever since then, he's hitting leadoff in front of some good batters. And Senzel's not coming back tomorrow. You know, he's not coming back anytime soon.
And with the way India's playing, who knows?
Yeah,
I mean, this could stick for.
Yeah, that's the point. I think between second and third base, they're going to find a spot for India, and it's interesting.
Yeah, they've got some pretty good talent on that team. We'll see if they can, especially because that division's wide open. Maybe they could sneak into the postseason. Maybe they'll be buyers instead of sellers, which I kind of thought they'd be about 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Senzel was transferred to the 60-day earlier this week weekend.
If I recall, with India, he was hitting the ball harder than the outcomes would suggest. So he's one of those, you got to just be patient. It'll happen. And sometimes it happens, and it happened. So that is good to see because, remember, he was crushing the ball in the minors and in camp, and he just never got a shot. And I don't know whether to say bloated expectations because of it, but you know, he's too young to be a post hype, obviously. But he had that interim where, what's he doing? Where is he? So it's kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I'm excited about where the Reds are at. I've said on this pod before that it's a perpetual climb back to 500 for that team, but they're over 500 now. Maybe they can build on this, and they do have Hunter Green down at AAA now. He gave up 4 homers at AAA in his debut. All 4 hits he gave up were home runs, 4 solo homers.
But all people were talking about was 104, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. I still have some questions about his breaking ball command and the secondaries, but I could see him debuting this year since he is, again, one step away, and they're suddenly competitive and in the hunt, very much so. Let me throw some names at you, Todd, for pickups this week. We saw actually a busy week for the top dogs in the league. Both Aaron Quinn and James Anderson, those two guys who are 1-2 in the league, accounted for each of the top 5 pickups. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to solidify their standing atop the league, and the rest of us trying to catch up with those two. So Aaron Quinn, the leader, he grabbed Ross Stripling for 14, dropping Tyler Glass now. Unfortunately, I hate to see that. Stripling, I just got recently with DVR as kind of a throw-in trade, and I didn't really realize how good he'd been over the last five starts or so. Last 5 starts, 2.45 ERA, 0.92 whip. Are you buying this little run from Ross Stripling?
Yes. Yeah, I bought into it already. Did you see he kind of chastised his fielder for making a bad play in a
– Yeah, the bad throw.
Maybe he shouldn't have made that throw sort of thing. And then he did come out and apologize afterwards. But that was kind of a weird scene.
I give him credit for apologizing because that was a pretty bad look on his part.
And he didn't just apologize. I mean, he apologized, but I forget who it was that called him out on Twitter. Ben Verlander, I believe. And he actually replied to that thread on Twitter. You're right. It was a low class move, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Never happened again. I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, but I mean, you see apologies, but you never see I've never seen a professional athlete reply back to someone in the media. That was kind of, it's kind of nice, I guess, but anyway, as far as Stripling, we may talk about him a little bit later, but yeah, I am buying in.
Yeah, he was going to be DVR's cut, but he just sent him back to me to even out the deal, and maybe it looks like I got a little nice free throw in there in Ross Stripling, and maybe I'll have to look to add him in a few other leagues. Aaron Quinn also picked up Matt Manning for 8. Now Manning made his debut last night. He only went 5 innings actually, but he struck out 3, 4 hits, 2 earned runs, no homers. So you love to see that. A couple free passes, and they did already say that he's going to be making another start next week. Let me just see who that's against. That'll be versus St. Louis. So that's kind of nice, but I don't know, because he'd really struggled at AAA prior to the call up. So I'm a little hesitant here.
Yeah, that I tweeted about that game. It was on YouTube of all places last night, and he looked composed. He was using his fastball a lot and using the secondaries off of it. The Angels are a tough team to strike out, so don't get overly concerned about the strikeouts. But yeah, what caught my eye was he was terrible in the minors.
Oh yeah, and not just like kind of bad. He was like an 8 ERA or something.
Yeah. And the narrative is, and we've talked a little bit about it, is I think the top end minor leaguers should have an advantage over the rest of the minors. And I'm pretty sure Manning was at the alternate site last year. We can double check it. But
and he had a little forearm injury too last year.
Right. That's right. But I mean, so the whole, it was surprising. But he looked composed. He didn't look, it was an Ohtani game, right?
Yeah. So he had his work cut out for him with
Ohtani. Yeah, I mean, he hung out in the spotlight pretty well. So, I wasn't going to let, a bad couple months in AAA deter what the main prospects people are saying about this kid. But it was interesting. I like to walk the body language for whatever that's worth, just to see. Not fidgeting, wasn't hit by the moment. He actually hit Ohtani, and then he struck the next guy out, which who knows if that means anything or not. But to me, it was kind of showed something, wasn't shaken, right? So
yeah, that's big.
Then there's Ohtani, who's just silly.
Just absurd, man. He went six last night, was 5 Ks, did give up a homer, but a 270 ERA in addition to all he's doing at the plate, batting 270 with a bunch of homers and steals.
Well, what I found interesting, too, is he was on first, two outs in the inning, and I think the count was only 2-2. It wasn't even full. And he, like, ran three he took off his second three different times on foul balls, like, just before he went out to have to pitch again. So, you're like, shouldn't you not be trying to steal? Right before, you know, what if the guy strikes out? Now, you know, you just sprinted three times, you know, but – and this comes on the top of – oh, who was it? Garrett Richards a couple nights ago doubled and then, you know, went to third on a out or whatever. And the very next inning, you know, didn't pitch well. So the narrative was there's a pitcher, you know, on the base pass and, you know, whatever. So it was just so Ohtani's just above all that, you know, not that sprinting 90 feet should be a big deal for professional athletes. I mean, I can't walk 90 feet without stopping for water, but, so, I mean, it was just kind of it just caught my eyes. Like, why is he running? You know, he shouldn't be trying to steal or even taking off on a – it wasn't even 3-2. That was the thing. That's what it kind of – or maybe it was, and I just need new glasses.
Patrick Sandoval, Ohtani's teammate, was a $7 ad by James Anderson. So take note there, folks. $7 for Patrick Sandoval. And looking ahead at their projected starters, so – Sandoval's set for Saturday tomorrow against Detroit, and James can plug him in because we have Friday through Thursday.
That's nice. Yeah.
Roster move or lineup move, so he'll get that one versus Detroit. But in standard leagues that are Monday through Sunday, you know, the Angels have two off days next week, so maybe you get Sandoval at the end of next week at Tampa Bay. But the fact that they have two off days makes me a little hesitant about picking him up and using him right away without any sort of certainty.
Yeah, they're going with a 6-man rotation, right? The Angels. Yeah. So it's going to just be a matter of who they want to have get the day off. They want to, you know, they could play, you know, Dylan, I'm just making this up. I don't know. It's like maybe Bundy, maybe you need a mental break. We'll give you this week. I don't know.
He probably does need one.
Yeah, well, that's kind of.
Or he's got that whiplash that you allude to from turning his head to see all the balls flying.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, exactly. When a bad pitcher, you know, throws a sim game, I always want to know if after every fifth pitch he turns around and pretends he's watching it leave the yard. But yeah, I mean that's why. I mean, I, you know, it was plausible to choose Bundy. And as I've said, I've taken what did I write on Twitter? I haven't been so wrong in a Bundy since. I wasn't all that into Kelly when I was in when I was growing up.
I don't know who that's a reference to. Is that a Kelly Bundy? I don't know who that is.
You don't. Well, you may have to go back and take this out. You don't know who Kelly Bundy is?
Can't say I do. Do I have to? Is it a married
with, Google married search? Married with children?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know Married with Children. Anyway. Oh, Christina Applegate. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So, yeah, she was. Was not fanning on her or standing on her when I was growing up, much more as an adult.
Well, yeah, I could see the case, but again, 6-man and 5 games only next week. I just maybe he's a guy to grab.
You know what?
He's still available.
What's funny?
Don't use him.
We don't even have Bundy pitching next week. So
Yeah,
that's I just pulled it out of the air, but you know, of all the people, maybe that's anyway. We'll see.
Well, but that would work.
I like Sandoval. Yeah,
unless they want to give Bundy a turn there, but
right, I like the Sandoval pickup.
Yeah, I do too. There, if you can get it for cheap, Joey Lucchesi for 4. I guess I haven't really been following if he's been doing well, but apparently he. Well, I guess in this league he's got 2, so that kind of makes sense. Because he's starting tonight, so Friday through Thursday lineups he would get to. Elvis Andrews for 4. You got something to add about Lucchesi?
I was just with Lucchesi. It's just he's just now getting stretched out again. Mm-hmm. San Diego 6 Ks, 5 innings, so it's not a bad bet at all.
Andrews for 4. That was James. I know Andrews has been better lately and running a little bit.
Been crushing lately, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see how long he keeps it up.
That's true. He was so bad earlier on. I actually dropped him in this league. So that was a guy I had rostered previously in this league. James now gets him for four. Gregory Soto for three. Caleb Smith for two. Chris Flexen for a buck. Joe Ross for a buck. I had Joe Ross as a $0 ad, and he, you know, got outbid because he went for a buck. But Joe Ross, I know some people are never Joe Ross because they've been burned so many times. Maybe this is like my new Nick Pivetta, that I just haven't been burned as much as other people. Went eight innings his most recent start. He's on a decent run. I guess the June 5th outing gave him four runs, but none of those were earned. So that kind of skews things favorably for him. But over his last four outings, he has a 1.57 ERA, 0.87 whip, 24 to 6 K to walk. Is this one where it's fool's gold,
you think? I mean, that's tough to fake, you know? I mean, two home runs in that stretch and only 14 hits. So sure. He's you know, running, you know, hit it, you know, pitched into some pretty decent luck. At Atlanta, at Philly, then the, you know, your Reds, and then Cincinnati and San Francisco. Not the easiest of lineups. And I believe that he's pitching part of the doubleheader. He's not going today. Is he going today? But he should also have two next week, is what I'm saying. There's been some confusion whether Eric Fetty will pitch tomorrow or not. But MLB.com has Eric Fetty, as do we. So
that would line Ross up for at Miami next week.
Yeah. So it's not, there's obvious risk, but I understand the I'm not never Joe Ross, but we only have one in standard formats next week. So he's probably not someone I'm looking at, but, I can see the pickup for sure.
Yeah. You gotta act on small samples and
yeah.
I'm fine taking the chance.
I mean, Soto, just a chance for saves. Flexen, There was another one of the other starters in there I kind of didn't like, but, you know, it's all contextual.
Yeah, Caleb Smith was in that bunch. I'm not really a big fan of him, but Colby Allard was picked up. Nick Senzel was the drop there. Zach Thompson of Miami. I don't really know what the appeal is there, but the guy who picked him up is pretty high in the rankings this year.
Well, the appeal, he's a pitcher. He pitches for Miami. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's in – there's some question whether he pitches today.
We have him as the
expected. We have him today, but MLB.com still has it to be undecided.
Yeah. So this is our best guess, Zach.
Right. No, yeah. And we've been best guessing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the guys are fantastic at that. Adam Wolf and everybody chips in and does a great job.
Because I do the daily notes for our ESPN, so we need to, you know, the pitching every day. And more often than not, you know, if we have a guy in there and ESPN or MLB has TBD to be determined, I'll go with our guy. I'll give him a ranking, whatever. And it's rarely been a time where I had to say, uh-oh, I got burned. So-and-so came in instead. So that's kind of neat.
That's great. That's a testament to the crew working on the grid, which is a team effort. But a lot of Adam Wolf, who does great work there. Mentioned Colby Allard. Michael Wacha was a buck. And then among the $0 ads, I got DeMarcus Evans dropping Mike Foltynewicz. Now, Evans had a bit of a hiccup recently, gave up a couple walks and a homer. But he was pitching really well before that. I still feel like he's a second-half closer. Plus, I have Ian Kennedy in this league. So it's kind of – call it a handcuff if you want. I don't necessarily think that's always a good idea. Rarely a good idea. But in this case, you know, Sabores blew a save, and I do feel like Evans is a good bet to close for that team later on.
And the thing is, I should start it by saying, I think we can start to see trades for the future in MLB soon. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they're going to wait till July 30th. Someone like, you know, Kennedy be gone as soon as he shows that he's back, right? He had 12 saves before he got hurt, came back very quickly. A couple good outings, he could be back on the block for some of these teams that need somebody. So you may not have to be stashing Evans for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and plus I had picked up Cisnero last week. That didn't last long. And I was like Lucas Sims, but I feel like I needed some security behind Kennedy, who has been my best closer so far. Well, that'll do it for pickups. Let's get into the two-star starters. But first, let's throw to a word from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Now we're back on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet. Clay Link here with Todd Zola, grading all of next week's two-start pitchers on a 0 to 5 scale. These kind of correlate with, well, at least Todd's grades on 0 to 5 correlate with his weekly pitcher rankings at rotowire.com. So definitely be sure to check those out closer to lineup lock for, you know, better idea of where these guys stand, because a lot will change between now and, you know, Monday afternoon. So Todd, getting into this tentatively, Merrill Kelly lines up for 2 for Arizona. Arizona, this like road losing streak is just epic. It's I know like the Pittsburgh Alleghenies or somebody saw the graphic. It lost like 40 straight road games back in the 1900s. But I can't remember in the modern era a losing streak this bad. Merrill Kelly, though, versus Milwaukee at San Diego. So he gets 1 at home, but I think I got to give Merrill Kelly maybe a 1, and that's being generous probably.
Yeah, here's a guy who I had higher expectations for. I probably need to lower my initial baseline to get him lower. I think I am in the 2 range now. I'm going to stick with a 2, but it may drop. But I have to, because just as I'm off him again, he goes out and throws a decent outing. Mm-hmm. So he had thoracic outlet, I believe. So it's still, we're not exactly sure how it'll end up being, but yeah, those Diamondbacks. I mean, even Zach Gallen couldn't break the streak yesterday.
Yeah, maybe I'm putting too much into just the supporting cast struggles and the entire team being bad lately, but I'm going to stick with the 1 on Kelly. For Atlanta, Ian Anderson, Charlie Morton. Now, at the Mets, then at Cincinnati. Ian Anderson, I think it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where if I have him, I'm not starting him. So I think I'm going to give him a 5, and then Morton, I think a 4. I'll stick by that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. A matter of fact, I know I have Ian Anderson. I actually have them both top 20. I'm going to go 5 on both. I think Morton, I have actually Morton higher. Morton is fine. He had a little early season blip, but the numbers were fine. And ever since then, he's just been Charlie Morton again. So I'm going 5.
Yeah, no, he's one guy who I haven't really heard much about with this whole Spider Tech thing, and he kind of had that career. Well, he did have that career renaissance with Houston, so I was a little worried about him with all this, but he seems to be just fine.
Yeah, now
he's not like a huge spin rate guy, is he?
No, and the thing, and I've actually been asked about Houston. And before this, all the spider tech came out, they were just good at looking at what a pitcher does well and having them focus on it. It's not all what they're applying to the ball with Houston.
Yeah, it's not just sticky stuff.
And I think it's getting overlooked that they were a smart organization. I mean, they liked pitches with spin because they knew that was a good thing, and they knew how to leverage that properly. It doesn't mean that they are, you know, they knew how to put stuff on their fingers. So I think Houston needs a little bit of credit for just being ahead of the curve, and people are kind of convoluting that philosophy with the whole, I use the word cheating thing. But yeah, so Morton was one of the four, and Gerrit Cole was someone who, when they picked him up, they altered his repertoire more than anything else to take advantage of what he does well.
I know when Cole joined Houston and was just killing it, that's kind of when, around that time, was when Bauer did the thing where for one inning he applied the sticky stuff and he showed that he could spike all his spin rates in a major way. And so I think that's maybe part of the mix, but I'm with you that that's definitely not all of what's behind the success of Houston's pitchers in recent years.
Right.
Definitely not. Now, Keegan Aiken, Jorge Lopez for Baltimore. I got zeros here. I imagine the same for you. Any reason to go into these two further?
I guess Aiken's someone to watch. He could develop into a one or a two down the line. Maybe people think higher.
Number one, number two in the
rotation. No. We may be giving a one or two rank next year.
Wanted to clarify.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Not even a top. Yeah, no way. Well, who knows if he ends up being a top end, but he's not projected in that manner. But no, zeros for now.
E-Rod at Tampa Bay versus the Yankees. Do you have any idea what's up with E-Rod? I assume he's fatigued and whatnot, but 6.21 ERA, it's hard to really feel good about trotting this guy out right now in your fantasy lineup.
Yeah, it's in the underlying metrics are much better, but as we've talked about in these sort of instances, it's never all bad luck, right? There's bad pitching involved. I do expect him to get better, but this is one of those, you know, my classic, if you think he's going to get better, you got to use him now. Mm-hmm. I've got him as a three.
Okay, I got him as a two, but three sounds reasonable.
Well, three is the spreadsheet saying three.
Yeah.
Two is the, the eyes.
Recency bias.
And to be honest, I have not dumped in my recent, the last 2 or 3 weeks worth of data. So if that, and I he did have a bad start in that run, so he may drop. Okay. I didn't have time to completely do everything. This is just kind of a guideline. I do a lot more finessing with the before the final list. But yeah, he's I can't point to this and say, well, he's just not getting enough swinging strikes on this. I mean, everything just looks a little bit down, and whether it's the fatigue or whether that's a convenient excuse, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But Red Sox pitching in general, the regression monster decided to hit all at once with the home run corrections, and they were getting crushed. Toronto will do that to you, though.
Toronto will
catch up to you in Houston now that they've been facing Atlanta, now Kansas City. The pitching will suddenly get better. But, as a Red Sox fan – It's they now a team that can hang in against lesser teams, but when they face the iron, they get in trouble. That's maybe what it is. But Chris Sale comes back. A couple of things happen. It's not over yet, but it was sort of a big comeuppance we'll get to the Red Sox in a moment, for the Red Sox staff to see the home runs start to pick up.
Yeah. So E-Rod, I mean, the versus New York Yankees aren't that scary, but still a little scary there. And I'm going to go two for him, but
yeah, the Yankees are like the bottom 10 for runs, average runs per game. That just
are they really?
Yeah.
Bottom 10. Wow.
Bottom 10. It just, I mean, granted, when you're in that, you know, that range, it's really close. You know how like a bell curve. The guys at the top are scoring a bunch. The guys at the bottom are barely scoring. And that, and, you know, and that, whatever that, that, I don't know, 18 to 20. Well, not so much. Yeah. The 12 to 26 range or 25 range are all tight. But anyway,
so for the Cubs, Albert Alzolay, he is versus Cleveland at LAD. Maybe Kyle Hendricks gets the second one, but we're projecting Trevor Williams to return. So Alzolay has been pretty darn good. I think, let me look at, he's been battling a finger issue lately. So that's been one thing that's, he hasn't pitched since June 7th, and he threw three innings there. Maybe you worry a little bit about the workload and his return, but again, tentatively lined up for two. Because of the finger issue, though, I think I'm going to only give Alzolay a – I think I'm going to put him on the E-Rod level and give him a two.
I'm going three, but I can see the trepidation, but I'm going three.
Tyler Malley's been really pretty darn good at Minnesota.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to drive down to or drive up to Minnesota for that game. I'm already going to Minnesota the following weekend, so maybe I'll just go up and stay all week.
Nice,
because the Reds are at Minnesota. Little interleague play early next week. But Tyler Malley, I think he's a five at this point.
I have him ranked. All right, so he's 21. Do I have a header? Yeah, he's 20. So, yeah, number 20 is a five. 1 to 20 is a five. So
he's exactly at the 20.
Yep. Yeah, he is a Minnesota you're not scared of anymore. Mm-hmm. And Atlanta, even both of those offenses should be a little bit better than or on paper we thought they'd be better than they are. But that's Molly. I don't want to say quietly because fantasy knows what's going on, but certainly to the to the general public, he's still not a household name and pitching a lot better than the layman may realize.
Yeah, and look out for Luis Castillo pitching better, and Tony Woo! Santillan may be a pickup depending on how he does tonight. He does have a 1.93 ERA currently, so in his debut, he was pretty good in terms of run prevention, but he completely lost his command late. They had to pull him after he gave up, I think, back-to-back walks, and, the command is an issue, so just be careful there, I'd say. Aaron Civale, Eli Morgan for Cleveland. Civale, even though he kind of was not great his last outing, he did get his 10th win. So he's 10-2 at Cubs, at Minnesota. I don't think I can put him on that Tyler Malley level quite yet, just because I do worry about these matchups a little bit. The Cubs aren't that scary, but I don't know. I think I'm going to give him a four, just maybe hedging a little bit because I have a ton of Civale on my own team.
I do as well. I have him a five, but he's due some regression too. Not quite as good as he is now. Is it going to just, is he just going to get whacked or is it going to be gentle? Remains to be seen. But no, I think he is a five. But I am a little concerned. I don't know if he's a sell high because I don't think you can get that much back for him.
Yeah.
But I think the numbers will suffer a little bit going forward.
Yeah, just expect a little regression blow.
Yeah.
Now, Eli Morgan, he's got an ERA north of 12. There's nothing really there to see.
Nope, not at all. Not at all.
So 0-4 Eli Morgan. Now, Colorado, they got two off days, so nobody projected for two for them. Same deal with the White Sox. So a couple off days for both of those teams. What about Tarik Skubal's getting some helium, you could say, in season? Versus St. Louis, versus Houston. I liked what I've seen from Skubal lately, and I think I'm going to give him a four.
Yeah, both home games. I need to check my basis on him because I have him in the two range, but I think he should be higher. So I'm going to give him a three and make a note to take a look at what's going on, why I'm in the four range now.
You're going to give him a three? Okay.
I'm going to give him a three. I mean, yeah, if I was just doing it off my top of my head, I'd probably give him a four. And his recent performance has been good, so that he may go up all by itself. Or I just may be shortchanging him innings. Houston is just
scares me.
Man, they scare every. They scare Jacob DeGrom. Maybe not that much, but that's a scary outing.
What about Jake Odorizzi at Baltimore, at Detroit? Great matchups there. they've been kind of doing, I mean, they have just so many good arms there. I do kind of wonder if, like, you know, maybe they shorten Odorizzi up a little bit. He was just pitching in relief. He threw four innings June 15th. He was very briefly in relief. I think I got to give him like a four, though, because of the matchups.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a three on the matchups based on the matchup. Yeah, that's, I mean, man, wouldn't you like to, wouldn't it be cool if we're talking about Christian Javier facing these two teams?
I know.
You know, but it's Odorizzi. I hate to, you know, I'm giving him a three. I have not been impressed by what I've seen. But yeah, these are actually, I mean, Baltimore's lineup isn't terrible and it's at Baltimore.
Yeah, I can't give him a four. I'm bumping him down to a three.
Good.
You talked me into it.
I was going to say, I'm going to put you on a penalty for 2 weeks if you don't change it. But,
I mean, that'd be fair because he has been pretty rotten and you just don't know how long he's going to go. But at Baltimore, at Detroit, yeah, I'll give him a three. That's, I can't go higher than that. Thank you for your words of reason. Mike Minor at the Yankees at Texas. I think I picked up Minor in one league where he was dropped. I think an online championship league. Or at least I made a pretty strong play to grab him. How do you feel about this two-step for Minor? I think I'm going to give him a four.
I got him in the five range, which may be generous. But again, I have him – everything is based on my, you know, projection, and it's pretty strong. And we're at the point of the year where the in-season is taking hold and changing things.
Yeah,
but I also need to. It's about the time of the year where I need to sort of total refresh and just see how I'm doing relative to my initial expectations, and I may need to change some of those. But and part of it is, like I mentioned before, the Yankees just aren't scoring, so it's probably the spreadsheet picks that up, but our heads are like, it's the Yankees. It's at New York. It's scary. So I'm going to stick with a five. You know what? I trust the system. I'm sticking with a five.
I'm a little surprised Jackson Coar wasn't already sent down. You'd think since they didn't swap him out for a fresh arm that he probably will make another start next week. That'd be in the Yankee Stadium. That'd be, I mean, this guy's been brutal.
Kansas City has not officially announced a starter for tonight against Boston.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And
so
we've got Coar penciled in. And we shall see if what's going on there.
Maybe they give him one last chance to right the ship, but I guess maybe they could give Daniel Lynch another look at some point. They have some other options, but
right.
The fact that they didn't send Coar down after that second brutal outing does make me think he gets another chance.
It may be that Kansas City is looking to a bullpen game tonight. And they wanted to see what they needed up to tonight before they schedule it. But sure, it's like, you, all right, we understand, Jackson. You haven't looked so good. We're going to give you one more shot. Go face the Red Sox. That's
go get him, kid.
Yeah,
yeah. I was mispronouncing his name as Coward. It is Coar. I apologize for that. You live and you learn. Angels two off days. No two-star starters for them, but the Dodgers have seven games. So they got Julio Urias, Clayton Kershaw, both fives for me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know,
too
anecdotal, there. You know, anecdotal, the Dodgers are a team that I did some work, and every single one of their starters shows up as a top 30 spin in one of the four pitches that need spin. And it could just be that they're very, very good pitchers. It could be something to keep an eye on. But, yeah, no, I got Kershaw. Kershaw
popped up pretty high on your
– Yeah, on several lists.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're both top 10, let alone top 5 for me.
Very nice.
Okay, I'm sorry, top 20, yeah.
Okay, yeah, top 20. What about Sandy? I imagine Sandy Alcantara is in that top 20 versus Toronto versus Washington. Does he make the 5 cut for you?
You could have said top 5, and I would have said yes. Okay, yeah, he's nice. Top 5. Yeah,
need to get him some wins. That Marlins team's pretty bad, but you still feel pretty good about that staff. Whenever they
they're both at home, which helps as far as the ratios go. Toronto, I mean, obviously very good team. Washington, I mean, it'll be tough to pick a win up, but he's going to help you everywhere else. He doesn't crush it with strikeouts, but with two starts, they should be good enough to get by.
So Brewers, are they going five or are they going six man right now? I think so, because they got Britt Anderson and Lauer. Either way, we don't have any two steppers for them tentatively. Now for Minnesota, J Happ versus Cincinnati versus Cleveland. Any reason to roll the dice? Is there still something there with J Happ?
He's at 102, which means he's technically a zero. So,
all right. Yeah, I think I'm going to give him a zero too, just because you're playing with fire too much there.
And I think so. Yeah.
I know that early on you're pretty aggressive with your two starts, but don't you think now it's pretty, you want to kind of tighten it up?
Exactly. Aggressive early on, mainly because of the run environment is lower in April and May.
The cold
months. It's now warmer. It's been 90 degrees, 100 degrees in Colorado.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, you know, it's still going to be another warm weekend in Colorado for the final to end up their homestand before the Rockies go away again. You talk about Milwaukee. Brendan Woodruff was looking like he would become a Verb, but he fended it off. Five runs in two innings, but he ends up with five runs in five innings. So Woodruff is not a Verb yet.
Just real quick, not a two-start starter for next week, but Bailey Ober was a name that I considered putting a $0 ad on. I surprised you to see he didn't even get picked up. So I must have had him behind DeMarcus Evans among priorities. But still, Bailey Ober showed a little something and has shown a little something so far. I did have a little four-run hiccup in his very first outing, but since he's gone 13 innings and a 2.08 ERA, 1.08 whip, 17 Ks against only one strikeout in his last 13 innings. You interested at all in Bailey Ober, or do you need to see more?
I need to see more. The numbers in the farm were okay. Mm-hmm. He was ahead of his level, so it's tough to really, really judge, and especially this year, 25 years old against a watered down AAA, at least at the beginning. You know what? His numbers are better than I would have expected, so I probably do need to take a look. But I'm not. Well, plus, I think he's got your juggernaut next week, doesn't he?
Yeah, at home. But
yeah, still, yeah, he's got the Reds. So I need to take a deeper look. He didn't excite me, but you can't let your first impression, even if it not, especially if your first impression is not backed by data, you can't let your first impression override. And that's just the human mind. That's what it does. And so that's what I like spreadsheets, because they don't think like that. But if you don't tell the spreadsheet that he's a little better than he is, I mean, right now I have him ranked 132nd. So maybe I need to reevaluate the expectations.
Well, he'll be a guy you probably talk about with your mystery partner next week, or a week from today, because he'll be on the two-start list, assuming he makes it through, you know, with some success on Tuesday against the Reds. Now, Jacob deGrom, that's an obvious five. Garrett Cole's a five, so we can just make quick work of these.
Right, but we're not telling anybody, people that they don't know, but you know, deGrom comes with that asterisk. Right now he's going to start. We'll see.
That's true. Now, Frankie Montas, Cole Irvin. You gave some prescient words on Irvin a couple months ago, and he did, you know, the Ks, as they came down, he got knocked around a little bit. But at Texas, at San Francisco, pretty nice. Montas, I think I'll give a three and Irvin a two.
I agree with Montas. Control effing Irvin. And I have him in the two range. So San Francisco's no longer a pushover, but the park is really, really good.
Yeah, at Texas is so nice. And I do have him in a couple leagues, including head to head, where, you know, it's, you have to eat a negative if you have a bad outing, but just, you know, you're not damaging your season long ratios. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
I feel a little bit better about trotting him out there, kind of mitigates the risk. Zach Eflin versus the Mets at Washington. They have two off days, so this is tentative, although they do have a doubleheader, so that would make sense. They have a doubleheader on Friday. So Eflin would line up for two. I think he's been okay. I think I'm going to give him a three.
Get him in the two range. Okay. And the at New York is helping him, because the Mets' offense is down, and City's such a great place to pitch. But the Mets have some players coming back. McNeil and Conforto coming back. So that I may have to go back to the three range. I think Eflin's been – isn't he been going deep into games but not pitching quite as well as you would expect for someone going so deep into the ball games kind of thing?
Yeah, it looks like he's gone at least five and all but one outing this year. He's gone deep enough to qualify – all but once, which is pretty impressive. Well,
that's good. Now, he's one of those guys that, you know what, the strikeouts are there. I was going to say, maybe I'm wrong about that narrative, but it's one of those guys that's maybe better for points leagues. But I think he's fine. Six innings. I mean, you mentioned long enough to qualify. He's gone at least six innings in all but two starts, two of his last three, unfortunately. Yeah. But he's gone at least six innings in all but two of his starts. And I think that's where in my head thinking the points league, because innings matter in points leagues, and his ratios aren't fantastic. They're not bad. 1.24 whips a little high. But, he's still – there's a risk. He's good home run prevention. But –
definitely still risky. Are you sticking two or are you going three?
Oh, I'm reinforcing two, taking a look at these numbers. But it's just one of those things where even though he's going so deep into ball games, you think he'd be better. If I were to tell you he's pitched six innings in all but two starts, you'd expect something more than a 3.99, 1.24. That's
true. So I got you down as a two there.
Yeah.
Now, Tyler Anderson.
I'm sorry. Four. Yes. I'm thinking backwards. Whenever I look at my numbers, if it's like I'm thinking it's in the second gradient, which is a four for a ranking. So once in a while, my bass-ackwards brain. I actually have him as a four.
Okay, cool. I wanted to get that right. Glad we clarified that. Tyler Anderson, I ate that nine earned run outing in one league and – thankfully, I dropped him, so I didn't have to eat this most recent six earned run outing. So he's given up, 22 earned runs in his last 27 and a third. If you haven't already, I think it's time to move on and upgrade that roster spot. I'll give him a zero, actually.
I need to do a deeper dive. And I mean, I know he's been terrible lately, but he was pretty good earlier on. I'm going to give him a tentative one.
Yeah, the White Sox, I know that whole narrative about, like, you know, lefty mashers is kind of passe and disproven by a lot of numbers, but I still do really worry about a lefty matchup against the White Sox. That scares the hell out of me. Blake Snell versus the Dodgers versus Arizona. It's been so frustrating. I actually took him out of my lineup for his best start, threw him back in. So, I mean, the Blake Snell on my active roster and staff keeper league has been even worse than, you know, his overall numbers, which is hard to do, versus the Dodgers versus Arizona. I think I may give him a two and he may be a drop in some leagues.
Yeah. I have not that if I had my eyeballs on him, I'd have a much better, viewpoint. I don't know. I just haven't seen him pitch. And it's weird because I watch a lot of San Diego games. I am in the three range. You know, two home games helps, right? I mean, even if they are L.A. and one of them, two home games in Petco Park helps a lot. I have him in the three range. This could be a week to take a look, you know, at least take a look to see where, you know, going forward, because is he a buy low? Or it's weird. Not many guys are either buy low or drop. Well, I guess a lot of guys are. But the range of outcomes is huge. Maybe a
drop. I take that back because I can't see myself dropping him, but he's kind of getting to that point almost.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I have not seen. You know what's going on. I don't know why he is so terrible. And I know this. You know he's not as pitch efficient. So the whole taking out of games early isn't just talent wise. He's pitch efficiency, but yeah, he's frustrating. And the Dodger matchup. The Dodger bats are starting, you know, I just, you know, waking up again, even though they're out. Maybe Bellinger will be back. We'll see. But I have him a three, and I will leave him there for now.
The Mariners and Giants, they have five games apiece. Seems like a lot of 5 game weeks for teams next week.
92 games this week. We're back. We were at a 99 week. We're back down to 92. If you look at the schedule, one of the days, is it Wednesday or Friday, I think, has a bunch of off days. Like, why? What?
Yeah, I hate Friday off days. Johan Oviedo for St. Louis at Detroit versus Pitt. Doesn't get much better than that for the matchups. You thinking about picking up Oviedo? I think I'm going to give him a 2.
I suppose, yeah, and it's Wednesday that has the off days. It's not Friday. And that's just a bunch of interleague two game interleague series is why they have to do that.
That makes sense.
I like St. Louis pitchers. I like pitching in when they have to pitch at home. You know, we haven't seen a whole lot in the at Detroit. It's not so, I mean, it's not home, but it's not a bad matchup. Yeah, I need to check. I have him ranked below 100, but I need to do a double check on that. It may just be that he hasn't gone deep into ball games.
Yeah.
And if I feel he's ready to go 5-5 1/3, the difference in ranking between when I do a 4 for innings and a 5 for innings is huge, because I take away the win expectancy with 4 innings. Mm-hmm. Adding that back in, even though it's just one extra inning, and adding it in is enough to maybe jump him back up.
So if he's outside the top 100, would he be a 0 then technically?
Yeah, right. But I have to, I guess I can double check it right now. Yeah, I may need, if he's ready to throw 5-5 1/3. I don't
know if he is. That's a good question.
Yeah, that would be the.
Well, he went 7 innings in his most recent outing, but he's only gone 5 one other time in 8 appearances.
Right, but having gone 7.
Yeah, having gone 7, that's big.
It's enough to start. At least, because he hadn't gone more than, he went 5 second start of the season. But, right, it looks to me like I can comfortably project him for 5-5 1/3, something of that effect. And he'll probably jump into the 1 or 2 range.
Yeah, that's 7 innings in his most recent outing. That does make you feel more confident. So I'll give you a 1 for now.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Okay, now, yeah, Ryan Yarbrough had a little bit of a hiccup his last time out, but his prior 7 appearances, 38 2/3 innings. He'd had a 3.03 ERA, a 0.93 WHIP, 33-6 K to walk. Did have 9 homers there, so the home runs were even a problem, even when he was pitching really well. I know you've been a Ryan Yarbrough fan for a while. What do you think about versus Boston versus LAA?
Don't love it. The thing with Yarbrough is, and I mentioned this a couple times, is in general, Tampa does a really good job protecting their pitchers from just nightmare outings. Yarbrough's had a couple nightmare outings. So I think there's more risk with Ryan Yarbrough than there's been previously. But I still – he's still baffling, et cetera. I'm going to give him a what am I going to give him, a 3? Am I going to give him a 3? I want to say 3, so I guess I'll just say 3. All right, I'll say 3.
All right, I got him a 2, but I'm going to mark you down as a 3 for Ryan Yarbrough. Now, as we wrap things up today, we got a 2 for Texas, Kyle Gibson, Jordan Lyles. Man, Kyle Gibson, how is he doing this? Seems like smoke and mirrors, but I haven't really watched him with my own 2 eyes.
It's not his strike. You don't think of him as a strikeout pitcher.
Yeah.
But his K percent, I think he had one blip along the way. It's gotten better every year for like the past 5 years. And this year, are
pretty darn good too.
I mean, this year it's fallen back this year. It fell back last year. 61 strikeouts and 77 2/3. So my argument's not quite as strong. Well, what he's doing is 5 homers and 77 innings. That's
amazing.
Yeah, and 58. So yeah, there's some BABIP and there's some home run per fly ball luck. The skills aren't great. So he is due. Yeah, he's due some regression. I guess I just think the landing might be a little softer than other people give credit for. So as far as the ranking goes, who are the opponents again?
Really good matchups. It is versus Oakland versus Kansas City. So I'm gonna give Gibson a 4, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
And Lyles, I actually kind of like him as a pickup. He hasn't been very good, but I mean, versus Oakland isn't great, but two at home and one of those against KC, I actually think I could see myself having him on a few priority lists, a few waterfalls, if you will. So, yeah, I think I'm going to give Lyles a two.
Agree.
Very nice. Okay, so last one here. Ross Stripling, a guy we talked about at the very top. He was the top ad in the RotoWire Stake League. I didn't have the $14. That's correct. I do not have $14 left, so I couldn't have even topped Aaron Quinn if I wanted to on Ross Stripling. But I'm very much interested in leagues where I can afford him. At Miami versus Baltimore, we talked about how well he's pitching lately. I'm going to give Ross Stripling a three, bordering on a four.
That's exactly where I have him ranked, at 43. You know, 21 to 40 is a four. So that's exactly where I have ranked. I'm going to lift him into the two range. I have four range though.
Okay. So you're getting him a four.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, before I recap these, got anything else on your mind?
Let's see. What's on my mind? I want to wish you a happy break. I'm glad to hear you're getting a little bit of time there. That's good for you. What did we have? There's so much serious stuff going on now with the spider tech and everything else. I have a fun little tout table coming up where the question was, while everybody else is charting every single spin rate and velocity, I'm going to be blank.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, so we've had some interesting responses, to say the least. So, trying to show that we're still supposed to be having fun, folks. Twitter's getting a little bit, I don't use the word ugly, but there's been some weird stuff going on Twitter lately. Kind of hoping that stuff would clean up when people get to go outside and enjoy themselves again, but it seems to be getting even worse. But it's been weird. So remember, you know, have some fun, folks. This is all supposed to be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to respond to that tout table. I'm pretty much just turning off the next 2 weeks. I'll still be around early next week, but I got to step away from baseball. We've been running so hard for really dating back to the magazine crunch time.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to the All-Star. I know most everybody from the site, the company, will be going to Vegas. It's not in my budget this year, but a hotel room on the Cape is to watch some Cape Cod ball. So, while you guys are gallivanting on Vegas, I'll be heading. That'll be my mini vacation. And the All-Star break is a little early. It's less than a month away. It's like July 13th is the All-Star game, I think.
Yeah, and I think the MLB draft was moved back to line up with that. So I'm actually not going to Vegas with the company either. But, you know, taking some other trips this summer, so I decided to hang back. But I'll be while everybody else is in Vegas, a few of us will be doing some MLB draft coverage. James will be having a big hand in that.
Nice.
Pre-writing a lot of those. But to recap our two-star pitcher grades for the week of June 21st, 2021. Merrill Kelly, I say 1, Todd 2. Ian Anderson, 5. Charlie Morton, I say 4, Todd 5. Keegan Aiken and Jorge Lopez, 0s. Eduardo Rodriguez, I say 2, Todd 3. Adbert Alzale, 2, Todd 3, Tyler Malley, 5, Aaron Civale, I say 4, Todd 5, Eli Morgan, 0, Tariq Skubal, I say 4, Todd 3, Jake Odorizzi, 3, Mike Minor, I say 4, Todd 5, Julio Urias and Clayton Kershaw, both 5s, Sandy Alcantara, 5, Jay Happ, 0, Jacob deGrom, 5, Garrett Cole, 5, Frankie Montas, 3, Cole Irvin, 2, Zach Eflin, I say 3, Todd 4, Tyler Anderson, I say 0, Todd 1. Blake Snell, I say 2, Todd 3. Johan Oviedo, 2, Todd 1. Ryan Yarbrough, I say 2, Todd 3. Kyle Gibson, 4. Jordan Lyles, 2. Ross Stripling, I say 3, Todd 4. Well, that'll do it for us. I'll look forward, Todd, to seeing the big reveal of your mystery partner next Friday. And also maybe catch you and Joe Bartle on MLB Network Radio tomorrow. Be good to yourselves in the next week or week plus, and we'll catch you soon on the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, sponsored by WinBet.
Try RotoWire today, free for 10 days. Get our premium tools, rankings, analysis, and breaking news alerts. No credit card required. Go to rotowire.com/